NBC Monitor News on the Hour. Here's Jeffrey Pond.
For the second time in 2 days, North Vietnam has accused the United States of taking an extremely serious new step to escalate the war. The first protest was against American artillery fire across the demilitarized zone into North Vietnam. Today, Hanoi complained to the International Control Commission for Vietnam about the shelling of key inland targets by U.S. warships. The North Vietnamese said the naval gunfire killed people and destroyed property. The U.S. command announced that the cruiser Canberra and four destroyers had shelled a rail yard and a munitions depot involved in supplying North Vietnamese troops in South Vietnam. An American spokesman said this first naval attack on inland facilities was the beginning of a systematic bombardment of the southbound supply network. It seemed to reflect a tougher military policy aimed at forcing North Vietnam to agree to peace talks. But North Vietnam said the shelling gave the lie to President Johnson's talk of peace. In the ground fighting in South Vietnam, American and South Vietnamese troops and Viet Cong guerrillas all suffered heavy casualties in a battle just 20 miles north of Saigon. The Allied units were unfit for further combat. To the north, in the Viet Cong headquarters area near the Cambodian border, the big U.S. offensive known as Operation Junction City had still failed to turn up any sizable guerrilla force after 6 days of trying to trap the Viet Cong's 9th Division. The war continued taking its toll of South Vietnamese civilians. 14 were killed and 27 wounded when a Viet Cong mine went off under a truck near Da Nang. Bad weather curtailed airstrikes against North Vietnam, but Navy jets went back for the second day in a row to hit power plants in the Hanoi Haiphong region. Communist China's effort to overcome the disruption caused by excess zeal in Mao Zedong's purge of his opponents continues. The latest wall posters in Peking reportedly quote Premier Zhou Enlai as warning that China's reputation and foreign policy have suffered because incompetent followers of Mao have seized important jobs. Zhou reportedly stressed that vital government and Communist Party ministries should not be taken over. And Radio Peking told Mao's Red Guards they must rid themselves of impure elements if they hope to keep their new power. It said many of them are guilty of the same counter-revolutionary sins as the people they've ousted. Key figures in the controversy over ties between the Central Intelligence Agency and private American groups appeared today on Meet the Press on NBC TV. Democratic Senator Joseph Clark of Pennsylvania, a member of the Foreign Relations Committee, was asked why he thought the government allowed the CIA to operate this way.
I think it was the easy way out. I'm speculating. I don't know. There is resistance in the Congress, notably in the House, to a lesser extent in the Senate, to the kind of international relationships with communist youth movements, which are people who are perhaps a little to the left of center, who are engaging in. And I think the agency and possibly the State Department, maybe others, Mr. Amory would know better than I, felt that it would be pretty tough to get the amount of money through that was needed to conduct these activities at the rate of interest which they desired, and therefore the easy way out was let the CIA do it.
Democratic Senator Joseph Clark of Pennsylvania. The full, nearly hour-long exploration of the CIA controversy on Meet the Press will be carried by NBC Radio this evening. Check your local station for the time. Barry Goldwater says this country will have to break the nuclear test ban treaty if it wants to develop an effective anti-ballistic missile system. Speaking on CBS TV, the former Republican presidential nominee said the system could not be properly tested unless the U.S. could set off nuclear explosions in the atmosphere. More in a moment.
We'd like to let you in on something. Now, there are two True cigarettes. First, True Blue, America's most talked about filter cigarette, with an average yield of 12.9 milligrams tar, 0.8 milligrams nicotine. Second, True Green, a lively menthol version of True Blue. Now, there are two True cigarettes. Now more than ever. Shouldn't your brand be True?
A French public opinion poll today indicated a government victory in next Sunday's election of a new National Assembly. But the poll also showed a steady dwindling of support for President de Gaulle's candidates. Despite the poll's forecast of a Gaullist majority, most political observers in Paris believe the outcome is far from certain. De Gaulle plans an election eve broadcast to the French people Saturday night on the state-owned radio and TV network. Electoral rules bar the opposition from making any similar broadcasts. De Gaulle's foes today charged his broadcast will be illegal and called it a form of cheating inspired by fear of losing his parliamentary majority. Prime Minister Harold Wilson of Britain arrived today in the capital of the Netherlands, The Hague, for talks with the Dutch on the British application to join the European Common Market. The Dutch government supports the move. But Britain doesn't stand a chance of joining the economic community unless she and her backers in the common market can persuade President de Gaulle to drop his opposition. He doesn't want to let the British in while they maintain their present special ties with the United States and the British Commonwealth. Jeffrey Pond, NBC News, New York.
Listen again on the hour when True Filter Cigarettes brings you NBC Monitor News. Here, a little note from Broadway. I don't quite understand it, but it goes like this. Kind to critics, Week. And this advice was scrawled on a backstage wall at one of the theaters. Be kind to critics. Take home a quote that's not out of context. Oh, I understand it. Do I? Stood Up is the name of this number. Floyd Kramer plays it. The author of the Unafraid Dictionary. Learn how to put people down just 2.5 minutes from now. I taught him everything he knows, of course. My name is Morgan. Here's music.
Oh, he walks like a man, and he talks like a man, and he looks like a man, and he feels just like a man should. He's got hands like a man, and he stands like a man. Like a man should. La 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 la. It's a pain or sound. La 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 la. He will be my tomorrow. And for
Margaret Whiting's song, Just Like a Man. Next contestant, please. That's Linda Vibrato warming up for this evening's performance of La Cachetora. What's the matter, Linda?
I seem to be having trouble with my treble.
Here, have a glass of V8. That'll give you a lift.
It looks good, like tomato juice.
But it's V8 vegetable juice. V8 has the natural goodness of 8 healthful garden vegetables. No single juice can match it.
I still say it looks like tomato juice.
Try V8 and see.
Wow, it sure doesn't taste like tomato juice.
Of course not. It tastes like V8.
Words, W-O-R-D-S, are getting a pretty bad kicking around these days. People not only don't mean what they don't say what they mean. For instance, a person can be the worst drunk in the world, and everybody will say, oh, he has a drinking problem. Or a wife will say, I love you, and what she really means is, will you please get out of there so I can get in? In a new book called Webster's Unafraid Dictionary, the author says he hopes to call attention to some true, pure meanings of words, but the subtitle is 5,000 Defiant, Definitive Put-Downs. Leonard Louis Levinson is the author, and he explains that it's a collection of opposite but true definitions. Well, Leonard, I've thumbed the book, and I would say every page is about 25 laughs.
Well, would you mind saying you thumbed through the book?
I thumbed through it, too.
Not if we're going to have precise meaning.
It's the kind of book, I'm not very good with words, and that's why we sent for you. It's the kind of book that you don't start at page one and continue like a worm eating backwards. You pick it up anytime, open it up anywhere. I don't know how many of these you can ad lib, but I have some written down. For example, from the advertising fraternity, who do grave disservice at times to the language. Free means if you buy something else.
Yes.
Yeah. Instant means 10 minutes of fast stirring.
Yeah.
Optional means it costs more.
Yes, this is especially true of the automobile ads. You know, they tell you all the wonderful things that you can have with this car, and then they add in parenthesis, optional means it's in addition to the suggested retail price.
That's
and you know what?
Forward eventually.
Yeah, you know what suggested means.
It means go down and argue with the man.
Well, yeah, go down and argue with the man is right.
I have written down some of these, so if you can't think of any, I can easily because they're on paper.
Shall I give you the one, my own definition of advertising?
I wish you would.
All right. Telling lies to attract shoplifters.
I'm afraid I no longer... I used to be sort of agin advertising, but I am no longer. As you know, I've spent my entire life in advertising. In
I know.
Radio or television.
Since you've been sponsored, you're no longer...
No, it isn't that, because here I particularly am not sponsored. The programs are. You know, we have lots of clients come in and out. But in my old age, I think I'm getting to be more philosophical and I think a lot more understanding about the value of advertising. Also, the audience is always quite aware that not every advertisement means precisely what it says. Here are some more definitions from Webster's Unafraid Dictionary. Teenagers. Nonconformists who prove their differences by dressing exactly alike. You could have gotten that from me. I did that about 25 years ago. At the time, everyone wore white buckskin shoes, dirty white shoes in school to show that they were rebelling.
Mm-hmm.
IQ. This is a favorite. What a man looks for in a woman after he's looked at everything else. Women. Creatures wiser than men because they know less and understand more. Individualist. A man whose wife is away for a few days. Parents. Things that are so simple, even a child can operate them. Oh, I love this book.
Well, thank you very much.
Bachelor. A guy who may not have all his buttons, but still has all of his marbles.
Can I tell you another definition for bachelor?
Yes, and I'll give you mine.
A man who sleeps on top of the bedspread. But takes a nap on top of the bed.
Yes, the wife, he doesn't do that. Can I give you my definition of a bachelor?
Please do.
It's a guy who opens the icebox door and finds part of a head of rusty lettuce.
Oh, well, that's very good. And you know what leftovers are? Those are the things that you save in the icebox until they're too moldy so that you have to throw them away.
You want to reword that?
Yes. Shall I, right now?
No.
All right.
Once again, the name of the book is Webster's Unafraid Dictionary. And my jolly Webster is Leonard Louis Levinson, an old friend. Thanks, Leonard.
Thank you.
Agent 00 Breck has a suds bomb for you. But you don't have to duck. It's only shampoo. and so gentle to hair that the whole family will be looking just swell. Try it, you'll see. That big sudsy balm is Brett Concentrate. What a shampoo, it makes you feel great. In each plastic tube at a price that's quite low is Brett quality for a gal or her beau. Just a dab of shampoo, some water, then wow, Brett Concentrate lathers up with a pow. A balm full of suds is a feeling that's great with the gentle power of Brett Concentrate.
What is a square? A square is another of the good old words that's gone the way of love, modesty, and patriotism. Something to be snickered over or downright laughed at. Well, you know, it used to be that there was no higher compliment that you could pay a man than to call him a square shooter. But today, a square is a guy who volunteers when he doesn't have to. He's a guy who gets his kicks from trying to do a job better than anyone else. He's a poor sucker who gets so lost in his work that he has to be reminded to go home. This nut we call the square gets all choked up when he hears the sound of his daughter's laughter, or holds out his arms to his son's first steps. He even believes in God and says so in public. A square is the guy you see going to church on Sunday while you're on your way to the beach. He's the one who really believes in democratic government, the rights of minorities, and all those other square principles. You know that square John Glenn? Says he gets a funny feeling down inside when he sees a flag go by. Says he's proud that he belonged to the Boy Scouts and the YMCA. How square can you get? A square is a guy who lives within his means, whether the Joneses do or not. And he tells his son it's more important to play fair than to win. Imagine a guy who thinks Christmas trees should be green, and Christmas gifts should be hand-picked. He believes in honoring mother and father, do unto others, and that kind of stuff. So will all you poor fools answering this description please stand up? You misfits in this brave new age, you dismally disorganized, improperly apologetic ghosts of the past, stand up and be counted. You squares who dignify the human race. You squares who hold this thankless world in place.
That's a new recording by Mike Douglas called What is a Square? And it was here on the Monitor Beacon.
Don Vigent of the New York State Department of Civil Service. We are currently involved in a recruitment program to attract persons with computer programming experience to work for New York State. We offer challenging, responsible positions, opportunity for rapid advancement, competitive salaries, and one of the best employee benefit programs in the United States. We also offer participation in an exciting, expanding, sophisticated EDP system, including online real-time information systems and multiple third-generation systems. Beginning salaries are $6,675 and $8,365, depending upon your experience. Presently, there are many vacancies in the Albany area. If you have programming experience and would like to work for New York State, write to Programmer Recruitment, New York State Department of Civil Service, State Campus, Albany. Or call today, GL75699. That's GL75699.
At 20 minutes past the hour, a new song, It's Thoroughly Modern Millie, by Nelson Riddle's Orchestra and Chorus.
Thank you.
Monitor Sports with Joe Garagiola, brought to you by Vigoro, makers of the goof-proof lawn foods. Here's Joe.
The biggest man to walk on a campus these days might very well be the mailman. And I'll be back to discuss that after this from Vigoro.
When the green in your grass is gone, and you gotta make it shape up, make it wake up with the bold green Vigoro, Vigoro. The bold green Vigoro, Vigoro.
You bet. And the reason is simple. The manufacturers of Vigoro know what they're doing. They've been at it longer and hold more patents for plant feeding breakthroughs than any other outfit in the country, bar none. And when they make a Vigoro product for any lawn or garden use, it's tailor-made for the area it's sold in. That's the secret of the bold green vigor of Vigoro.
It's a lot greener than green. A happy kind of bold green, a making bold green, the bold green Vigoro of Vigoro. The bold green Vigoro of Vigoro.
Vigoro, the goof-proof, tailor-made lawn foods. You sure ought to try them.
On the college campuses around the country, there's a set of initials that are used to describe the important people. They're called BMOC, which means big man on the campus. During the fall, the BMOC is the star of the football team, and in the winter, it figures to be a basketball player. But right about now, the biggest man on a lot of campuses might be the mailman. He's the guy who'll be carrying the letter that the whole student body is looking for. The letter is a bid to one of the two important college tournaments to be held next month, which will decide the basketball championships of this country. One is the NCAA tournament, and the other is the National Invitation Tourney. Right now, the athletic directors at schools all over the nation are keeping their eyes peeled and hoping that the mailman will bring them one of these invitations. Now, if you've ever seen a teenage girl around the time of the junior prom, you'll have a pretty good idea of what I mean. Actually, the similarity is closer than you'd think. If a school is invited to both tournaments, that could present problems, just like the teenager being asked by two different boys. If a school hears from either tournament, they'll make noises about thinking it over, but you can be sure they'll accept. And if they're not invited at all, they'll probably say something like, "Well, who wanted to go to your tournament anyway? Besides, the whole thing is handled wrong." As a matter of fact, there are some complaints already from some of the schools, and not concerning the invitations either. Some colleges and universities are saying that the NCAA should set up different ground rules than it has now. There's no argument with the National Invitation Tournament, mostly because the schools don't have direct control of it and admission is strictly up to the committee. But the NCAA, which seems to be able to find more than its share of hot water these days, is something else again. The way things are now, the NCAA is really divided into two sections. One is the university division, to which 24 teams are invited. The other is the college division, and there are 32 schools involved in that. The university division is the one that's given the higher ranking and also the higher prestige. The team that wins that is generally regarded to be number one in the nation. A lot of coaches, including Harvard's Lloyd Wilson, feel that the NCAA should do away with the two divisions and run just one tournament for every school in the country. Now, if there's one thing that the NCAA doesn't need right now, it's somebody else to make a suggestion about how they should run their affairs. Even so, I'd like to go on record as being in favor of having just the one tournament. If UCLA beats everybody, that's fine. But suppose some small school winds up going all the way and beating Lou Alcindor and company in the finals. What a story that would be. It might not happen, but it should at least have a chance to happen. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Later, you have a chance to hear Joe Garagiola later today and every weekend on Monitor.
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
I like the taste. Simple as that.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
I think everybody who smokes should try a lark.
There's nothing, nothing, nothing like a lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
Great smoke, glad I changed.
Hey, there's nothing like a lark.
Have a lark today.
There is nothing like a lark. Have one.
The music of Walter Wanderley, and in Clarksburg, West Virginia, you heard it on WBOY. And on NBC stations all across the country, you're listening to Monitor.
This is your NBC station. This is the pulse of the nation.
Joan O'Hara was a secretary before she became an Army nurse in Vietnam. Now she buys United States savings bonds where she works. Do you?
What happened? What's going to happen? Don't miss a thing. Listen to me, Martha Brooks, 11:30 a.m. weekdays here on WGY Schenectady.
Monitor music! A little bit of wishful singing by Andy Williams. Sand and Sea.
Sand and sea, sea and sand, and the warm, bright sun up above. Summer days, happy days with my love.
Sea and sand.
happy night. Making love. Making love. Making
Morgan, Monitor. Merle Oberon, one of Hollywood's most famous movie stars, will be our guest. Alan and Rossi will perform. There'll be an interview with a folk singer in Vietnam. All that and music, too. Connie Francis sings Another Page.
A while ago, I was a lonely girl without a goal or purpose in this world. I thought of life and made my plan to find myself a
I like the way it tastes.
I agree. There's nothing like a lark.
Lark has a good, easy taste.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
I think they're the nicest cigarette there is.
Right. There's nothing like a lark.
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Estelle Merle O'Brien Thompson was the young English girl's name, and they tell the story of her first screen test this way. She did a scene with a leading man who embraced her and gave her an expert screen kiss. New to the acting profession and new to Hollywood, the young lady hauled off and slapped his face. She flunked. Later, she was discovered to be not only a beauty but a fine actress and became famous as Merle Oberon. She starred in many pictures. Last weekend, one of the best of them was on TV here in the East, Wuthering Heights. Monitor reporter Shirley Ader interviewed Merle Oberon about her life today.
Merle Oberon, now you live a completely different life. You are certainly the hostess with the mostest in Acapulco. I was down there when you were entertaining Linda Bird and George Hamilton. You've been a hostess all your life, I'm sure. But is it a different life? You've done this picture hotel, but you're not really a working girl anymore.
No, I'm not. As a matter of fact, I've discovered that work is a great release. You can get away from an awful lot of things by saying I'm working. Yeah, I see that knowing look on your face.
That's right. You know, all those charity organizations and committee meetings.
That sort of thing I don't like. You see, I'm not good at all that.
Do you like living in Mexico? Is it a whole different life?
Yes, it is a whole different life. It's a very nice life. It's a slower life, you know. It's not so rushed as in the States. Since I was very young, did pictures. But every time I finished a picture, I'd go off and unwind.
Someplace quiet.
Quiet, completely, with a bunch of books and nothing else.
Well, that's different. I know. To unwind, I have to wind up, you know.
Yes, you're like my husband. He's always wound up, you know, and he doesn't know what it is to unwind.
You know, Merle Oberon, when you were entertaining Linda Bird Johnson, you certainly were entertaining more than Linda Bird. First of all, we bothered you, the press, a great deal more. You had FBI men, Secret Service men. Did they stay at your house, too?
No, they didn't stay at the house. They stayed at the hotel nearby, but they were there 24 hours out of the day.
You mean two of them would be awake and outside all the time?
Yes, yes.
And even when they were swimming, I know people who went by in boats and they weren't kind of pushed away. You know?
Well, they didn't really push them away, no. Because you know, the sea is open one day because, and I was there at the time, because this boat kept coming by and by and by and by. And I was in the water, and they were very irritating. Because you see, what they do is they agitate the water. You can't even swim there.
When the boat
is there all the time. And it's very inconsiderate of them, you see. And then they complain about being asked. They were just asked to go a little further away.
Well, and, you know, I can understand.
Yes, you see, it's always two sides.
Do you spend most of your time in Mexico, or do you do a lot of traveling?
We do a lot of traveling. And as I say, I have my house in Hollywood, so
usually we
go there every summer. But this summer I want to go to take a trip to Africa. I want to take the children to see all the animals. And if
on safari?
Yes, safari. That's my dream, so let's see if I get it.
Would you go on a shooting safari
or
pictures?
No, pictures. Pictures and seeing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shirley.
Don't you love listening to rich folks wondering if their dreams will come true? Taking the kids to Africa to see the animals? Oh, hold my hand.
Got along without you before I met you. Gonna get along without you now. Gonna find somebody twice as cute, 'cause you didn't love me anyhow. You ran around with every boy in town, and you never cared if it got me down. You had me worried, always on my guard, but you laughed at me 'cause I tried too hard. Boom, 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 gonna get along without you now. Boom, 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 gonna get along without you now. Got along without you before I met you. Gonna get along without you now. Gonna find somebody twice as cute, 'cause you didn't love me anyhow. I lost my money and I lost my pride. Didn't have much money, but I really tried. It made you happy when you made me cry. And you broke my heart, so I said goodbye. Boom, 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 boom. Gonna get along without you now. Boom, 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 boom. Gonna get along without you now. Boom, 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 boom. Gonna get along without you now.
Trini Lopez, Gonna Get Along Without You Now. We plan to get along with you here on the Monitor Beacon. Before the hour on a Sunday afternoon, that means you're with Monitor. About to hear Roger Williams play Sunrise, Sunset. Now, Monitor on Stage. Star performances by leading entertainers. Today, it's Marty Allen and Steve Rossi as they got laughs at the Sands in Las Vegas.
What's the toughest thing about your job? Huh?
Getting the secrets back to headquarters.
Where's headquarters?
I don't know.
Well, Well, what would a spy do if he was attacked by a killer?
Some spies scream and some spies run.
What are you?
I'm a screaming runner.
Hey, if you were captured by the enemy...
Captured?
Yes, if you were captured, would you be afraid to swallow the poison pills?
Poison pills?
Yeah, would you?
No, I got the kind that melt in your hand instead of your mouth.
Say, what's the first thing you do when you're in great danger?
I throw my raincoat on the ground.
What for?
Protect my knees while I pray.
Say, what qualifications do you need to be a spy?
You got
to
be a liar, a sneak, a thief, a cheat.
How did you train for this?
I was a used car salesman.
Are you married?
Oh, yes, I'm married to a woman.
You're married to a woman, huh?
Yeah, lovely, like a little angel. She's like a little angel.
Little angel.
Walks like a little angel and talks like a little angel and sings like a little angel.
Where is she?
Flew away.
Is your wife here in Vegas with you?
Huh?
Is your wife here in Vegas with you?
Where'd you get that question?
I just threw it in for kicks.
Well, throw in an answer.
Is it true?
She is here, you're lousing me up all over town.
Is it true that...
Oh.
No. Is it true that you're really Italian?
Oh, yeah, I'm from northern Italy.
How far north?
Poland.
Alan and Rossi with their version of The Spy Who Came In from the Cold into a Nice Warm Nightclub. A monitor household tip. Are you bothered by squeaky floors? Do they wake your wife up when you come in late? Well, the squeaks, of course, are caused by two partially loose boards rubbing against each other when somebody steps on them. So don't step on them or get rid of the squeak this way. Squirt some powdered graphite. Powdered graphite into the crack between the boards. And that will lubricate the edges, and when they rub together, no squeak. Of course, if you use too much graphite, you'll slip and break your leg. Now a tip about what you put on the floor. What happens? Oh, it's me. I thought the tip was going to come from heaven or somewhere. Let's talk carpets, like Stevens Gulistan's Grand Prix. Now, I don't pretend to be a carpet expert, but anybody can tell this carpet is nothing short of spectacular. It's got give to it. Starts out springy, then stays springy. The pile is DuPont Orlon 33 acrylic.
Springier, fancier, it's the carpet fiber that's lovelier.
Put a new spring in your step. Take a test walk on Stevens Gulistan's Grand Prix plush carpet made with Orlon 33, the springy carpet fiber.
What now, my love? Now that you left me, how can I live through another day? Watching my dreams turn to ashes and my hopes turn into bits of clay. Once I could feel. Now I am numb, I've become unreal. I walk the night without a goal, stripped of my heart, my soul. What now, my love? Now that it's over, I feel the world, it's closing in on me. Here come the stars, tumbling around me. There's the sky, where that sea should be. What now, my Lord? Now that you're gone, I'd be a fool to go on and on. No one would care, no one would cry, if I should live, if I should live or die. Now, my love,
now
there is nothing, only my last, my last goodbye. Bye bye.
Mr. Sinatra, What Now, My Love? Not all the stories from Vietnam are about our fighting men. Today's story is about one of our singing men, a folk singer. NBC News reporter Jack Russell interviewed him.
Steve Addis is a Harvard-educated folk singer who is traveling all over South Vietnam making friends through music. Steve, I understand you have been down in the Delta recently and in a lot of other places without escort. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, well, of course, we do, you know, pay some attention to what places are safe, but I think in America, perhaps you get the idea that it's just very dangerous to travel anywhere in Vietnam. Actually, you can travel all over the country. You have to ask and make sure which places may be a little dangerous, particularly at night. We're careful when we're out in the countryside. But I've been able to travel from, 5 miles from the North Vietnamese border all the way down through the mountain highlands, which are very beautiful, down into the southern flat delta with the rice fields, all the way down to pretty near the tip of South Vietnam. We've sung in villages and towns, schools, hospitals, Chu Hoi, this means Viet Cong returnees. I'd say perhaps mostly for young students in this country.
You've had a unique opportunity to see the Vietnamese people like perhaps no other American has. What do you think their reaction is to the war, is to life, actually?
Well, I've gotten to respect the Vietnamese people a great deal because they've now been in a pretty constant warfare for more than 20 years, and they haven't given up. It's made their life very difficult. But, you know, I think in America, people don't realize the Vietnamese really have a very high culture. They have thousands of years of history. A lot of their history has been very difficult, being invaded by China, having border warfare. And they're a very resourceful people. I think they hate the war, as anybody must. But I think most of them would rather fight than be subjugated. And I respect them a great deal for that.
Do you think your program is helping to bring the American people and the Vietnamese people closer together?
Well, I hope so. You know, the Americans here, there are now hundreds of thousands of American soldiers, and most Vietnamese see only the American soldiers. Now, the American soldiers, I think, are doing a very good job here, and many, many soldiers are doing community help projects, teaching, some helping orphans and so forth, many good things. But still, when any country sees another country, mostly through the eyes of seeing some GIs, some soldiers in their country, there are bound to be some tensions. And so therefore, I think America should send over many more musicians, artists, performers, young people. There's an organization here called International Voluntary Service, IVS. It's very much like the Peace Corps. This kind of young, friendly American can help keep the tensions down and the friendships alive between the two people. And I hope also Vietnamese musicians, artists, and so forth can come to America and show Americans something of that side of Vietnam. When we see the warfare and the political side of Vietnam in our newspapers, the Vietnamese see the warfare side of America, the soldiers, and that's never enough.
That was Steve Addis, an American folk singer in South Vietnam. Jack Russell, NBC News, Saigon.
I imagine some of you remember Steve as half of the folk singing team of Addis and Crowfoot, two young men who have traveled widely for the State Department's cultural program.
Thank you.
The music of Ferranti and Teicher on monitor. NBC News on the Hour is next. I'm Henry Morgan, back shortly.
This is Chet Huntley. I'll be with you each weekday with my emphasis plain talk on NBC Radio.
This is Stein Erickson speaking from Sugarbush, Vermont. You skiers who have just had a great weekend on the slopes, why not live and work in ski country all year long? Here is your opportunity to do just that. IBM in Burlington, Vermont needs more engineers, programmers, accountants, and scientists. If you qualify, you could have a go-places career with IBM, and you would have some of the country's best ski resorts in your backyard. But skiing is only part of the story. There is great hunting, fishing, boating, and hiking in the Burlington area, too.
You're right, Stein. You skiers who haven't yet had an interview with IBM, be sure to write to the company early this week. Just send an outline of your education and experience to IBM Corporation, Burlington, Vermont. That's IBM Corporation, Burlington, Vermont. You'll hear from IBM within a week. IBM is an equal opportunity employer.
It happens every day on The Jerry Ducey Show. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11:30 and afternoons from 1 until 3 here on WGY Schenectady.